three, not four, not five, not six, not seven.
I'd say we remember LeBron saying that. Not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. And what was the reason he went to Miami anyway? Just to go play basketball? Or was he putting a super team together? Mark Elfmine Show, good Saturday morning to you. Happy Father's Day weekend. Taylor Phillips, Saad Youssef in the house. We'll take you up to 9 o'clock. A couple of housekeeping issues just to let you know what's going on. Number one, let's not forget the NBA draft is this week. Your Mavericks are picking number 9. We will have the draft right here on home of your Dallas Mavericks, 103.3 FM, starting at 6 o'clock on Thursday. And then we're also going to have a draft party at the Henderson Tap House. So we invite you to come on out there and join us all. We're going to have some fun out there. You can listen to Chuck and Will Chambers do their thing. And this, to me, is going to be a very, very, very interesting NBA draft. And it's getting more interesting by the day. We'll get into some rumors and draft rumors and trade rumors that are floating around out there. But I want to kind of get into a little bit of the what happened after the finals. If you're not aware, Golden State's the champions. I just thought I'd throw that out there. Kevin Durant is the MVP. Golden State took care of business. And I think we all realized when Kevin Durant joined Golden State, that was going to be the team to beat. Cleveland was very, very good. But Golden State took care of business 4-1. They are the champions. So back-to-back-to-back times of playing each other, and we saw what happened with that. That being said, after the game, and credit to, I would say, most all the superstars, is they face the music. Win or lose, they go out there, and part of their job is they got to answer questions from the media. Good, bad, or indifferent, stupid or smart questions, and I give most of those guys a lot of credit. They do what they have to do. And LeBron James, after he had lost the championship, was there, and he was ready to accept any and all questions. And then one came up about super teams. LeBron, you've kind of been on super teams before. Talk about it.
No, not really. I don't believe I've played for a super team. I don't believe in that. Okay. I don't believe we're a super team here.
I haven't played for a super team, but we are a super team. I haven't played for a super team, but we are a super team. So when he was with Cleveland and he took them to the finals and he kind of did it himself, I tend to believe that Cleveland team was definitely not a super team. But when you pick up and you're taking your talents to South Beach to join Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and company, I believe that you can deem that as a super team. And then when I guess you go back after winning a couple of championships in Miami, and you go back to Cleveland and tell Daniel Gilbert and company, look, I need you to go get this guy and this guy, and I need Kyrie, yeah, he's good, and get Kevin Love and whatever. That could be deemed as a super team. So LeBron basically saying it wasn't a super team. Well, as you know, there's a little history between Draymond Green and LeBron James. You know, a little kicking him in the hutchkeys. He steps over him. They talk about each other. You know, there's a little something there.
They're also business partners.
Really?
Yes.
In what?
They do that.
Oh, the barbershop
yes.
thing. Okay, that's very interesting you say that, because Golden State had their parade. And look, nothing's secret anymore. Look, with Twitter and Facebook and YouTube and video and camera phones and phones in general, we see everything instantaneously. And so when the parade was going on for Golden State, Draymond Green obviously had heard about LeBron talking about, I never played for a super team. Well, Draymond Green had something to say.
They want to talk about super teams, this super team, that. I never played on a super team. You started the super team, bro. I ain't joining the super team. Hey, Slim.
Hey, Slim.
I don't know what you just did, Slim, but you did something to them boys. We appreciate you joining the super team. I never played on the super team. That's crazy. Let's see. Slim was the second pick in the draft. Steph was 7th. Clay was 11. I was like 47. You know, wasn't on number one, number one, number four, number five. We just doing better. Yeah. You know, like, give credit where credit due. We ain't had no number one picks to build this thing. We just put it together. So like I said, shout out to Bob. You know, Bob is definitely the best GM in the league, and he just sit back. Don't want no credit. I'm giving you credit. Way to get it done, bro. My God.
All right, so Draymond obviously saying they built themselves a team, but they brought on KD, but you really get zinging LeBron a little bit about, come on, you started the super team thing, bro. Well, then LeBron was on a podcast, and he had a response to Draymond Green's parade response.
I mean, in 2003, the Lakers combined Karl Malone, Gary Payton, Shaq, and Kobe. Mm-hmm. In 96, when Jordan was retired, the Rockets joined Charles Barkley, Hakeem Olajuwon, and Clyde Drexler, all on the same team. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't look at it as I definitely didn't start the super team. Is that what he's trying to say? But I just feel like it's great that on the day that you're celebrating your championship, my likeness and my name is in your head.
Well, yeah,
I love that.
That's a Richard Jefferson, Channing Frye podcast. LeBron was commenting on that. Now, I don't think LeBron James started the super team thing. I just think he was part of it. I mean, you can go back to Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett, and you can go back to, like he said, when Karl Malone and Gary Payton went to the Lakers and when Barkley and Drexler went to the Rockets. I mean, look, it happens, you know, because what happens is if you don't get a ring or you don't have a ring yet, I'm going to tell you right now, you's about to go somewhere to try to get one because that's all that's missing. I mean, look, how many more times does Barkley have to hear from Shaq? You never won anything. You don't think that kills him? You don't think that just, yeah. So nowadays, guys, whatever they got to do to go get a ring, if it's joining a super team, they're going to do it. Is it great for basketball? I don't know. That's what I'm saying. We've been seeing this forever. Whether you build it through the draft, via trade, via free agency or not, I mean, the Lakers had a great team. The Celtics had great teams. The Bulls had great teams. The Pistons had great teams. The Spurs have great teams. I mean, they all do. I mean, did everybody get pissed off when LaMarcus Aldridge went to the Spurs? I mean, we're like, golly, they did it. They just keep adding people. Okay, well, that's what happens. Now you're just hoping that your Dallas Mavericks can add somebody. Now, LeBron did have something to say about the one and only Dirk Nowitzki. Now, you might wonder, well, didn't he make fun of Dirk coughing and acting like he was sick? Yeah, we remember that. But actually, he had something nice to say. Take a listen.
So people that don't know, Dirk likes to call people, anybody that he thinks is trash, which is like 99.9% of the people on the planet because he's Dirk Nowitzki, yeah. He calls them burgers. Yeah. Look at this burger.
Give me mind here. You, I'm a rookie. I have never played in the NBA.
Man, you guys went out the burgers garden me?
Dirk is the
shit. Yeah,
he's one of my favorites of all time.
Yeah, I love
both on and off the floor. He's just
of all time.
So he seems
fun.
So cool.
He is.
No, I never got an opportunity to be around him, but he just seemed like one of the greatest.
Guys. So I played with him for a year, right. And when I tell you who you imagine him to be, he's that guy. He's competitive as limited with his athletic. Finds it funny.
Man,
loves 90s old school hip hop like that.
I love
like
it.
Dirk is just
seems
he's
so
just,
amazing, man.
Nah, he's such a character. Amazing.
At what point did you know that about him? Or did you start thinking that about
probably
him?
Probably All-Star games.
How great he is, or just, both on and off the floor?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, for me, just being a historian of the game, you see, you know, if you're able to have guys in our league that's able to have a staple shot or a staple move and things like that.
Yeah, that people take from
you. That people take from you, and then they say, yeah, I got that from that person. Like, obviously, the one-legged fadeaway is, like, one of the most unguardable shots that this league has ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see the grace that he does with and the time that he puts in and the work that he puts in. I mean, and so many people counted him out. Obviously, he got traded on draft day.
Yeah.
I mean, people don't realize that. And then when he went to Dallas, you know, things didn't go well for him to start off being an American, things of that nature, and just to see the player that he became. Man, much respect. He's always been one of my favorites. Even when I mean, he took one of my rings away from me.
Again, that is LeBron on Dirk, and that was Richard Jefferson and Channing Frye's podcast. And Richard Jefferson was the one commenting that he played with Dirk and he knows Dirk. And look, we're all very fortunate. We got the opportunity to see Dirk from the beginning, and we're actually still getting a chance to see Dirk, and I think that's what makes it great. And that being the case, with the draft coming up this Thursday, you hope, and I think this is where the excitement comes in. It's kind of like the first time in a long time that the Mavericks have a draft pick high enough where maybe they can add a little juice to the team. You know, they're going to get a good player. The possibility of them getting a very good player is very good. I mean, at 9, if they stay at 9, which I tend to think they will, but you don't know, they're going to get a very good player, whether it's the kid from France, whether it's the Dennis Smith kid. You know, it could be Markkanen, which I'm not sure if I want that, but there's a lot of great players coming out. What's amazing about this is the smokescreen / the rumors that are flying all over the place now, because this is a very good, young, deep draft with, I think, instant impact with a lot of players. And now all of a sudden, Boston is talking to Philadelphia about trading the number one pick to Philadelphia for the 3rd pick and then getting Philadelphia's number one pick next year. And God knows, look, Boston's got 9 million draft picks in the next few years. It doesn't matter. But I think it's very interesting. All the talk about Fultz was number one, but now he might not be number one. And then LeVar Ball was going to be number two, but he might not be number two. He could be number one. Maybe he slides to number three. And then you got the Jackson kid. And then De'Aaron Fox, who the more you hear, the more people are like, no, that's the guy. That's the guy. And Josh Jackson, no, that's the guy. No, Jason Tatum, no, that's the guy. No, the kid Isaac, no, that's the guy. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I just think it's going to be very interesting come Thursday night, draft night, to see what the heck happens with the Mavericks and with the rest of the NBA. All right, before we get out of here, quick most memorable Father's Day story about your dad, real cool. What do you got? Got anything?
Nothing that stands out. It's usually just like a brunch or a lunch or dinner or something like that, and get a gift or something like that. But nothing that really.
Taylor?
A good sports one that just happened last year. Just like you and the Astros, I got the Dodgers from my dad.
Uh-huh.
Went to Dodger Stadium for the first time, so that was really cool.
Go.
Okay, we're going to have one this year. It's because of what you guys are talking about. So this is a sport, even though a lot of people don't recognize it as such, cricket. And Pakistan and India have a huge rivalry in cricket, and they're playing in a championship tomorrow morning, and we're watching that. It's the Asia Championship or something like that.
Oh, on TV?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were here.
No.
Wow!
But we're going to get together. But we're going to get together and watch that. And we're from Pakistan, so it's a huge deal.
That is very, very cool. For me, I mean, there's so many with my father. I mean, every single time I was blessed and honored to have him on the air with me over 25 years, and I miss that incredibly. And, I know my whole family misses my father incredibly. But the two that stand out the most were the first time that him and I got to go to see our Astros play in the playoffs against the Mets in 1986 in the Astrodome. And we were going to see game 6. And that was the greatest game ever played. The book that was written, the 16-inning game. And I'll just never forget, we're both wearing our rainbow Astros jackets and we're walking up the tunnel to go to the game, and I was going with my dad. I mean, it was from all the baseball coaching and playing and everything, going with my dad to go see our favorite team play was just one of the greatest ever. And then the second one was boxing related, and all the times I get to have him sit ringside with me when I ring announce. I'll never forget at Fight Night here in Dallas, Steve Crossan had set up a dinner. Angelo Dundee was the guest of honor with Sugar Ray Leonard, and I got a call saying, hey, what are you doing Tuesday night? And I said, I don't know. He says, well, we're going out to dinner with Angelo Dundee. Would you like to invite your father along? And I said, oh, my God, my dad would love that. I mean, I'm sure Angelo knew my grandfather, who was ring announcer at Madison Square Garden. They got people in common. So we get to dinner. It's Crossan, myself, my father, and Angelo Dundee. And within 15 minutes, Steve Crossan and I just looked at each other, And Angelo Dundee and my father had the time of their life sharing stories about Madison Square Garden and the old fighters and the old boxers. And my mom used to tell me that you don't know what you did for your father. He lives vicariously through you by you bringing him to the events and sharing things with him. So, Dad, I miss you. I love you. And I know you're with me every step of the way with our Astros. And so I wish you a happy Father's Day. Thanks to Saad and Taylor, as always, for being here every Saturday morning.